Let's get into God's Word tonight. Thank you, Jerry, for the introduction and letting me teach tonight. We've studied a lot of stuff this weekend. Studied about love, how love is healing, how God's Word is healing. Getting ministered to, obviously, is healing. And tonight we're going to look at prayer in light of healing in God's Word. And this is an important teaching, important topic like all the other ones. So we're eventually going to go to Psalm 34, so you can go there. We're going to get to Psalm 34, so go over there. Very common scripture. Last week, my wife went grocery shopping, and she had some groceries in her hand and came home, and she was carrying some groceries with her hands, and she tripped, and she landed face first on the asphalt. And it honestly looked like she had a fight with her husband, but she lost. And a lot of you guys were praying, and all the stuff in her face and everything else, it went away, and it was really great. And we believe, obviously, that God had a major hand in helping all the stuff go away. You know, around 10 years ago, Jerry was in the hospital with stage 4 cancer. And most of you guys know this. And he had an amazing healing. And a lot of you guys were praying for him. And the doctor, after it was over, basically agreed that his healing was miraculous. Now, the doctor agreed that his healing was miraculous. And that was the power of prayer. The power of prayer, because he didn't have chemo or radiation. So prayer is a big deal. Prayer is a big deal, and we have a God who cares about us. And that's really, really super important. So today we're going to look at the power of prayer in God's Word. You know, we can pray for ourselves, right? We can pray for other people. And today we learned that healing sometimes just isn't physical, right? Healing is getting born again. Healing is getting delivered mentally. Healing is getting delivered in a spiritual way. In Psalm 34, verse 4, it says, a very common verse that we've seen, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my what?
Fears.
Delivered me from all my what?
Fears.
Fear. Fear is a four-letter word beginning with F, and it's nasty. He delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord. He prayed. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. The psalmist prayed. God heard him and delivered him from all his fears. He got deliverance mentally. He prayed and he got deliverance mentally. And he could have gotten deliverance from the thing, even the cause of the fears. So it's simple. We, instead of dwelling on the problem, we dwell on God who's big enough and he delivers us from our fears. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. We just heard a great teaching from Joe about how much God loves us. And it says, 1 Peter 5, 7. 1 Peter 5, 7. It says, casting all your care on him because he what?
Cares for you.
He cares for you. Casting all your care. This word care is like an anxious care relating to anxiety. So what happens when we have anxious care? We give it to God. This anxious care, that's the cares of the world in the parable of the sower. That's the cares of the churches that Paul had to have on his shoulders. We have these things sometimes, and we're just not big enough to deal with it. And guess what? God can deal with it, and he wants to deal with it, casting all our care on him because he cares. Joe just did a fantastic teaching. God cares for us. So in this teaching on prayer and healing, when we need healing, whether we have something like scratches on our face or cancer or heart problems or, man, I have anxiety or whatever, we can go to God and God cares enough about us to deliver. My wife and I, we had two girls. And we're sure not perfect parents. And if our kids had something wrong with them, we would want to help them because we care. I mean, that's just being earthly parents. God wants to bear his arm for each and every one of us. He wants to show himself strong. He wants to deliver. If God could put the stars in the sky, can he heal cancer?
Yes.
Can he heal a heart problem? Can he heal a heart? Can he heal whatever? God is bigger than the senses, and he can do all these things for us. In Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 6, Philippians 4, 6. Casting all your care on him. It's an anxious care. Have you ever had anxiety? Does it feel good?
No.
Feel good in the tummy?
No.
Look at this. Philippians 4, 6, it says, be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who?
God.
God. So guess what? One of God's solutions for anxiety is prayer. One of God's solutions for anxiety is prayer. One of God's solutions for having fear is I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my what?
Fears.
One of God's solutions, deliverance, healing for anxiety right here in God's word is you pray. You pray, you give it to God, casting all your care on him because he cares for you. God heals us. He delivers us from our fears. He delivers us from anxiety. Take a look, please, at 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings 20. Have you ever gotten some really bad news? Some really bad news. Now, don't think on that bad news too much now. How do we deal with really bad news? How do we deal with really bad news? And quite often, a lot of times in the beginning, how we deal with it, it kind of can determine the outcome, can it? And that's really a big thing. You know, people deal with bad news in a lot of different ways. Some people get counseling from Reverend Jack Daniels. And if you speak Spanish, you might go to Reverend Jose Cuervo. But maybe there's a better way. Look at 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. You guys there? I'm not. All right, 2 Kings chapter 20. Some of you guys are parents out there. All right, now let's take a look at 2 Kings 20, verse 1. Now Hezekiah, if you read 2 Kings 18 and 19, he had a habit of receiving some very bad news, but he also dealt with it in a very biblical way. So he had a habit of dealing with things in a very spiritual way. 20, verse 1. And in those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. He was going to die. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow you're going to be healed. Does it say that? Thus saith who?
Lord.
The Lord. God is telling you, Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt what?
Die
and not live. That's revelation right down the pipe. You're going to die, dude. I've heard more pleasant things, correct? You're going to die. Now, that was pretty loving, though, really, because he could get his affairs in order. And verse 2, it says, and he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Immediately, or just right about, he received the news, and then, bam, he prayed. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech you, O Lord, remember how I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah, the big king there, he wept sore. He cried his eyes out. He faced the wall and he was really upset. But he prayed right away. Verse 4. And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came again to him, saying, Isaiah hadn't even left yet. And God spoke to Isaiah again, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears, and behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up in the house of the Lord. Isaiah hadn't even left yet, and the revelation for Hezekiah had changed. God was going to heal him, and he was going to live another 15 years, as the record goes on and said. That's answered prayer, isn't it? The prophet hadn't even left, and the revelation changed. That's the power of prayer right there. And that man lived another 15 years and had a child in the Christ line. That's deep. Right when the stuff happens, bam, he went to God. The prophet hadn't even left, and the revelation given to the prophet changed, and that king lived another 15 years. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 is a record that a lot of us are familiar with. It's the record of it's the record used in healing, in the law of believing. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 9, please. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, here it says, in verse 17, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I've brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he takes him, he tears him, and he foams, and he gnashes with his teeth, and pines away. And I've spake unto thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they what?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, like I said before, some of us are parents. If you see your child being thrown around by a devil spirit and having these convulsions, and in this situation, these convulsions were caused by a devil spirit. How do I know that? Because the word says so. That's a pretty easy answer, isn't it? You see your kid suffering, and he's suffering because of this. But the problem is he took him to his disciples, and the disciples could not help. So let's continue here in verse 21. And Jesus asked the Father, "How long is it since this came of him?" And he said, "Of a child." Wow. Of a child. "And oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you, Jesus, can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." A lot of you guys are familiar with this record, so we're not going to get into all the detail here. But Jesus Christ required believing on the part of the Father in this case, because the Son was incapable of believing. "If you believe, all things are possible." 24. "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief.' And when Jesus saw that the people came running, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, 'Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter into him no more.'" Was Jesus Christ afraid of the spirit?
No.
Not at all. Who had more power, the devil's spirit or Jesus Christ?
Jesus Christ.
Okay, now, who had more power, Jesus Christ or the devil's spirit?
Jesus Christ.
Who had more power, Jesus Christ or the devil's spirit?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ isn't here anymore. He's in you. Who has more power, you or the devil's spirit?
We do.
Thank you, Lance. That's the right answer. "And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him." He came out of him and he was as dead. The kid was just like that on the floor. "And he was as one was dead, insomuch that many said, 'He's dead.' And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose," took him up. "And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast him out?'" That's a good question. "And he said unto them, 'This kind can come forth by nothing but by what?"
Prayer.
Prayer and fasting. So this prayer and fasting was connected here. You know, Jesus Christ said they come out by prayer and fasting. Let's take a look at this and see this a little deeper. Look at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17. So Jesus Christ required believing on the point of the Father. But he also said, these things come not out but by prayer and fasting. Matthew chapter 17 and in verse 18. Matthew 17, 18. This is an identical record in another gospel. "And Jesus rebuked the devil." Were there devils around back then?
Yes.
Did they disappear from the world? Is there a possibility they could be around now?
Yes.
Just checking. "And Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from the very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could we not cast him out?' And Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your what?" So, believing is required by the person getting ministered to, or in this case, the Father. And believing is also required on the person who is going to minister or to bring to pass deliverance in the situation. It's two parts. In this situation, when there's some type of ministering or whatever involved like this, it's not only on the person receiving, but it's on the person ministering. Pretty interesting. "And Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief.'" And then he talks about believing here. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to this yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible with you. So believing was required, and at that point, those guys didn't believe. Now let me ask you a question. Did they believe in Jesus?
Yes.
They were his disciples, so they did. But in this situation, in this area, they didn't have the believing to deal with this thing, with this spirit in the situation. Now it says here, howbeit this kind goes not out, but by prayer and fasting. Somebody read Isaiah 58, the fast is to do the will of the Lord, to bring to pass deliverance to God's people. That's what a fast is from Isaiah 58. It's not giving up salami. Okay, so a fast biblically is to do God's will, to bring to pass deliverance. But it also says here about prayer. It goes out by prayer. You know, having a great prayer life is super important in our walk with God, isn't it? Did Jesus Christ have a great prayer life? He always did the will of the Father. And when we're walking with God, sometimes it's the right thing to minister healing, and sometimes it isn't, isn't it? So we gotta walk. We gotta reach up in daddy's cookie jar, as Dr. Werwell would say, and to have a great prayer life, we can be at the right place at the right time. So in walking with God, in bringing past a miracle like this, or in healing people or delivering, our prayer life, our walk with God, our connection with God, then we walk with God, and then we can bring to pass that deliverance in people's life. Jesus Christ had a tight prayer life with his Father, right? There was communication. So prayer and healing is really great, because if we're walking with God, God can tell us what to do. God can tell us where to go. God can tell us these things so that we get delivered, or we can bring to pass deliverance in people's life. So ministering healing, did Jesus Christ heal everybody all the time? No, he didn't heal everybody all the time. Sometimes he did, and other times he didn't heal the guy at the temple gate. So he was in John 5, I think he healed one guy. Why? Because of that walk with God. But when it was right, man, it was great, and he healed the multitudes all the time. You know, we're not going to get into this, but in Luke chapter 1, there was a couple, Zacharias, and then he had his wife named Elizabeth, and they had a problem. Elizabeth was barren, and they were both stricken in years. And then one day, they wanted to have a child. And one day the angel came, and he spoke to Zacharias, and he said, "Fear not. Thy prayer is heard. Thy prayer is heard." And then he said that they were going to have a child or a son. So in that situation, then, that answered prayer of Zechariah was they wanted a child, and the angel came and then told them the solution of that. That's very deep. God can heal. People can have children even past their time. God is bigger than all those things. All right, so that's a cool thing. Now, I want to go to a very, very important verse in the Bible. Look at Acts chapter 10, please. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There's a lot of power in prayer. I've been pondering this verse for many years. Sleepless nights, wondering at the depth of this verse here. Acts chapter 10, and in verse 1. And there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. What is this Italian band? Now, I've read some people guessing at what it was. It was, you know, some military thing. Some people, this one dude said it was something like the National Guard, and Cornelius was in it, and they did community works around. Well, honestly, I don't know exactly what it was. It could have been some kind of thing like the National Guard. The Bible really doesn't say, so I really don't know. But I think I can tell you definitively it wasn't the following.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
Okay, that's enough.
Volare. Oh.
Okay, Brian, no more. No. So, let's read the Bible. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. And there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God, what?
Always.
Now, Cornelius, was he born again?
No.
No. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms have come up for a memorial before God. God's remembering your prayer here. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. So I don't know what Cornelius exactly prayed, but in the context of God remembering his prayer, it does say here, call for Simon. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 11, please. Acts 11. Acts chapter 11. And this is Peter recounting the incident of him talking to Cornelius relating the whole thing. So here it is in Acts chapter 11. And in verse 12, it says, and the Spirit bade me to go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he, this is Cornelius, Peter talking about Cornelius, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood by and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. So your prayer has come up as a memorial. God's remembering your prayer, and you send some men over there and get Peter. And guess what? Peter is going to tell you who shall tell you these words, whereby thou and all thy house must be what?
Saved.
So Cornelius, who was an unbeliever, he prayed this prayer. And I don't know exactly what was in that prayer, but that prayer led to Cornelius being born again. And remember, the greatest miracle of all time is at the new birth, and that person goes from death to life. So Cornelius, an unbeliever, prayed this prayer, and it led him to the new birth. Does that healing? I'd say that's prayer and some healing somewhere along the way. Isn't that fantastic when a person goes from death to life? How much does salvation worth to you? Donald Trump, does he have some money? Maybe he still has some, Donald Trump. He's got a lot of money. Could he buy salvation?
No.
No. All the money in the whole world could not buy what we have in the new birth. We were going to die. And at the new birth, we have life. Absolutely. Total redemption. If we had perfect believing at when we got born again, think of the changes in our physical body. We have it spiritually. We'd have it all over if we had that believing. And inside of us at the new birth, we have that healing. We're made whole. Something that Cornelius prayed there in that situation led him to the new birth. Look at Luke chapter 6, please. And that prayer by that unbeliever, that Gentile unbeliever, he was the first one that got born again who was not a proselyte, and that started the outreach of God's word to the Gentiles. Look here at Luke chapter 6. Have you ever been disrespected? Have you ever been neglected? Have you ever been rejected? I just got a big time diss from my family about a month ago. It was a cold shot. Have you ever got a cold shot from somebody? What did you want to do to that person? We could do a lot of things, really. What Joe was talking about the love of God, we don't pay back evil for evil. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Somebody did something to me that was very unloving and wasn't very respectful. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 28. Luke chapter 6, verse 28. It says, "Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which what?
Despitefully
use you." Despitefully use you means to threaten you or to insult you. So sometimes people say stuff to us that's extremely unloving. And you know, it says here, pray for them which despitefully use you. If you're ever mad at somebody and you know you got to control your mind, a great thing to do for them is to pray for them. Is to pray for them, and then you know what? That helps our heart, doesn't it? Have you ever done that? Have you ever seen it? You give to that person, and that heals your heart from the diss that you just got. And if that doesn't fail, you know, you can punch them. Not really. But think about it. In a lot of situations, when somebody has done something horrible to us, if we react in an ungodly way, it makes it 20 times worse, doesn't it, Dylan? It does. So you have to just control your mind. And one way to overcome the hurt in the situation is to pray for that person and then take some kind of godly action. But reacting and letting somebody push our buttons is no good. So praying for a person that disrespects you is a godly thing, and it helps to heal our heart in the situation. Look at Numbers chapter 21, please. Numbers 21. No more Italian songs during the teaching. Number 21. Numbers 21. Numbers 21, and in verse 4 it says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." That's interesting. Verse 5, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. I hate this manna. I want a whole wheat bagel with Taylor ham and cheese like I had in New Jersey. They're good. They're very good. I hate this bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people what? They brought it on themselves. It's the idiom of permission. So these people, they were dying of these fiery serpents, whatever they were, and they were biting them. Verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, we've spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. Please, Moses, please do some intercessory prayer and please help us, because we're getting bitten and we're dying. And Moses said, forget about it. I ain't praying for you. You say that stuff about me and God? It ain't happening. And Moses prayed for the people. Think about how loving is that. He could have blown them off. They disrespected God and Moses. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. What a weird thing to do. Set the snake upon a pole, serpent, whatever it is, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, he's going to what? Believers, you know, children of Israel dying all over the place, much people dying because these serpents were biting them. People dying all over the place. And what does God tell Moses to do? First, the people ask Moses to pray for them. Moses, as a leader, intercessory prayer, praying for the people. God says, put this serpent on a pole and hold it up, lift it up. And then he tells to the people, if you look on this, even though you're going to die, you're going to live. Great healing, multitudes of healing. People were going to die. And then if they looked at the serpent on the pole, they were going to live. From death to life, multitudes of people because of intercessory prayer. Pretty cool stuff. John chapter 3, please. Those of you who have children, when your kids come to you and they need help, you love them, you care about them, you want to help them, deliver them to the best of your ability. So we just read, because of intercessory prayer, the solution that God told them was, these people are dying, so you take this serpent on a pole, and if they look up, and if they look at this thing, they're going to live. John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now listen to this. Verse 14. And Jesus Christ is speaking. You can tell because it's in red. Verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent into the wilderness, he lifted it up, and the people that looked on it, instead of dying, they were going to live. And as Moses lifted up the serpent into the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. People were going to die all over. And Jesus Christ was lifted up. And whosoever looks on him and believes on him, instead of dying, they're going to live. Pretty cool. Look at Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew 9. I love it when our Elise and Gina, they talk to us. It's really cool. I usually like it when they talk to us. Matthew chapter 9. We ought to talk to God. We ought to fellowship with God. You know, you ever talk to somebody and they talk back? You ever had that experience? Look at this. Matthew chapter 9. This is something on compassion. Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Well, look at that. That must have been revelation, because Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father, right? So that's, God must have told him to do that. Verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with" what?
Compassion.
I just heard a teaching on that. "He was moved with compassion." He felt their pain. He saw what was going on and he wanted to help. "And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted," or they were harassed. They were harassed and they fainted, "and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." When the sheep aren't taken care of, they just go away. They just scatter all around. And remember, the shepherds were supposed to bring healing. The shepherds were supposed to lead. The shepherds were supposed to guide. The shepherd put oil on the sheep so they would be okay, so they would be healed. And in this situation, Jesus looks around there and he sees all the sheep and they were harassed. They were scattered as sheep having no shepherd. Ladies and gentlemen, in our country today and all around the world, there are a lot of people who know God's word, have a hunger for God's word, and people have scattered in a lot of different places. There's people out there tonight in New Jersey, in New York, in Connecticut, in South America that are praying for people to come and to help them. And all of us in here, most of us know God's word very, very well. Back then, we'll see what Jesus Christ, they were scattered as sheep having no shepherd. And then saith he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." What happened back then? His ministry was growing. And in that situation, they need laborers. Laborers to be able to minister the word, to heal the people, to bring deliverance to God's people. And my personal believing is, there's a lot of people out there who are scattered, who are hurting, who are desirous for the accuracy of God's word. "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." There was hurt among the believers back then. There needed to be healing. There needed to be love. There needed to be a shepherd, somebody, leaders, people to labor, to minister, to carry out the will of the Father, to bring deliverance to God's people. Jesus Christ's solution in this situation of hurt, of harassment, of the sheep being scattered is to pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. The situation here was the people were hurt and they were scattered. What Jesus Christ told them to do was to pray. Pray. Pray so that other people would rise up, that they would desire to do the work of the Lord. They would desire to walk out and minister and grow. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Saturday night of this advance, and my prayer is that when we leave here, there's going to be more of you, more of us who want to go and really walk with God, bring deliverance to God's people, and learn to minister the word. Because there's hungry people all over. There's people who are hurting, but we just have to have the guts enough to open our mouth and to help them. In this situation, there was healing necessary in the body. Jesus Christ told people to pray so that other people would grow and want to carry out the ministry of God's deliverance to the people. So in this teaching tonight, we've seen a little bit about prayer and healing. We've taken a look and we've seen that we seek God and God delivers us from all our fears. We've seen that prayer brings deliverance from anxiety. We've seen that we can cast all our care on Him because He cares for us. We've seen how there was a man, Hezekiah, was going to die, and God told him by revelation, and he turned his face to the wall, and he wept, and then after that, God added 15 years to the life of the king. Prayer was the solution for a sickness that was going to bring physical death. We saw how a lifestyle of prayer and walking with God enabled Jesus Christ to bring deliverance to pass and to minister to that child who had the devil spirit that was ruining his life. We saw how Zechariah and Elizabeth were well stricken in years and she was barren. And Zechariah prayed and they had a child. We saw how the prayer of an unbeliever led to him being born again. And not only that, then we saw that many, many, many other Gentiles were born again in the situation. And then to be born again is just tremendous, tremendous healing. We saw how intercessory prayer saved the lives of many people who were going to die because Moses prayed, God brought to pass the deliverance in the situation. We saw how believers in the Gospels were hurting and they were scattered as sheep that had no shepherd. And Jesus Christ's solution was that other laborers would step forth and be able to minister and heal to God's people. There's so many needs, but we have a Father who delivers. He cares for us, as Joe taught. And there's healing of physical, mental, spiritual, so many things. And God has enabled us to do these things, or even in our own personal life, God wants us delivered. Absolutely. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17 to close. Jeremiah 17, and in verse 14, Jeremiah 17, 14, God is big. He can heal us and other people. Jeremiah 17, 14, it says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be what? Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be what?
Saved.
For thou art my praise." Let's grow in our believing and let God to work in our life and other people so that we can have deliverance and help others to receive it also. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for the privilege of knowing you and knowing your power. And I pray for every person in here tonight, no matter what need we have, that we can just get the deliverance in our life and that we can grow, Father, and learn to minister your word and minister healing to other people. Thank you for this and for the privilege we have to know you and to have the power of God inside of us. Thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
So great. You know, I'm sure you're the same way, and when you hear God's word, like we've been, so many things go through your minds, you know? Yeah. I'm reminded of a great movie, What About Bob? Got it. Gonna get it. I'm not sure, you know? It's like the Word of God is such a checklist for me. And, you know, there's certain things that possibly we do that are really good, and there are certain things in our lives that maybe we need improvement upon. But it's just like, and I love this because I never remember who teaches. And you know what? That's almost good. But I remember what's taught, and that's the most important thing. Because we can get enamored by the names of a few great people or what we think is so tremendous. But really what's tremendous is God's word and God. But I think about prayer, and I know that's something I can do, you know. I can do that. I can handle this one, you know. And so it's just one of the things that I just so enjoy doing. I remember when Joe first moved here and Carol, which was, I don't even know when. That was a long time ago. But I wanted to get to know Joe better. So I don't know who asked who. I think I asked him if we could be prayer partners, and he said, all right. But not on the phone. I want to do it in person, you know. And that's really how I got to know Joe. We would walk, and then we would pray. We'd walk at least five times a week, and we would pray. We'd pray, we'd walk. And man, what a great way to know somebody. What a great way to see things come to pass because of God's goodness. That's just so great. Thank you so much, Steve. And I can't wait for the next teaching. It's like, and you know, I've been at this a while. I think it's like the more you know, the more you know you don't know, but you'd like to know, you know. It's like, there'll be a day when we'll know even as also we're known. Until that day, we have the privilege of hearing God's word and being with God's people. There's a verse in Corinthians that at the very first Rock of Ages, it was the theme verse. I don't have my Bible, but I think is there 16 chapters in 1 Corinthians? Is there? Right near the end. Oh, gosh, Steve has a Bible, but I'll never be able to find it because it's not on the same side of the page. I know it's in here. I know, you all need to go. No, you don't. You don't need to go anywhere. Chapters. Oh, okay, 16:15. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus. It says that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And it's so great to pray. I was talking about prayer, but to addict means to give up something for the constant practice of another thing. And so many of you believers have addicted yourself to the ministry of the saints. When I did a teaching on that 100 years ago, I titled it, I Got a Jones for You. I need you. I can't do without you. I can't go a day or two without seeing one of you. I wrote a song called I Can't Get Off This Block. It's impossible. I can't get off the block without some believer stopping me. Hey, you know, blah. And boy, what an opportunity to have. To be around God's people all the time is such a blessing. It's healing, it's delivering, it helps me. And in turn, maybe if it helps me, maybe I could help somebody.